Today's daf, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadi. We are holding at the Halakha Mishnah, however, on the previous daf, so we're holding on Pei Tet Amud Beit, and we were at the Mishnah, and we had interrupted Richie yesterday. He was about to begin, so even though normally when we begin, but I mean, without Richie, I just wouldn't be fair. So come on, Sir Richard, give us the treat. I'm seeing you this morning. Okay, so now that we have finished all of the rayas that we needed to bring from the Ramazim and various psukim in this perek of Rabbi Akiva, all of a sudden we find ourselves back as if nothing had happened to the discussion of the previous parak, which started this going. You remember, we had just learned one remez, and that opened up the whole parak of Rabbi Akiva. Now we find ourselves back with discussing the same issue we were discussing before. What is the shir of Hotzah? It's only 90 pages. We haven't been able to get past Hotzah yet. Anyway, and we sort of go back to something that we had already learned before, which is a little bit strange. The Gemara is going to ask, why are we back here? So, Hamotzi Eitzim Kedei Levasha, Beitza Kala. This is what we were talking about before. A Beitza Kala, remember, did not mean the lightest kind of eggs. And we were talking about, so why not talk about a hummingbird? I mean, at the Beitza Kala, we said, meant the easiest to harden kind of egg. And that was a chicken egg. So, the shear was sufficient wood. Before, we talked about, what about a reed? Now it's wood. I mean, lechora is the same thing, right? Tavlin, how about different types of seasonings? Kedela tabel beitz hakala. Also, a beitz hakala, again, a chicken egg, that what would it take to season it? So whatever type of things, whatever type of seasoning you're putting in your egg. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara when it says mitztarfim zeimzeh, which is a little bit strange. I mean, what do you mean mitztarfim zeimzeh? You may be making an egg that has two totally different tastes in it, and that's not going to be very exciting. I mean, mixing, one type of egg with another type of egg is not necessarily very tasty. So tomorrow we'll talk about that. Klipei agozim, klipei rimonim, isatis, pua. What about different types of dyeing materials? So the husk of a nut, this is the thin skin that grows while it's still fresh outside of the thick peel, or peels from pomegranates, or isatis, generally translated as safflower. And pua, we keep meeting this pua, and that's the Mad Hatter is the way to remember it, because you use it to dye the top of the hat. So it's the Mad Hatter, because it's really called madder. Anyway, the shear of this would be, k'day litzboa ben beget katan pisvacha. What else would a Mad Hatter do but dyed a little bit of cloth that you put on the top of a woman's hat, which was very stylish at that time. And then we've got various cleaning fluids. Now, urine was the primary cleaning fluid in that day, gave you some strong ammonia if you let it stick around. But you could also have natron, you could have bori. The Gemara is going to discuss what these things are. Kamulia, the Gerson needle was kamunia. Ashlag, which is a potash, as we're going to see. That's kidele chabez beget katan. That's enough to wash the small beget, same shear. What beget is that? The little piece of decorative cloth that you put on top of the sfocha, then the netting comes out from under that. Reb Yudah Amir, kedei lahavir taketem. Notice that these are exactly the ingredients that are needed in Masechet Nida to be able to take away the tumah of a ketem. And also we use it to check whether it's considered to be dam. So once you pass these different materials in correct order over a ketem, you can then be metayer the beged from the ketem. That would be the shear, which is much smaller. It would be a very small blood stain. Only has to be the shear of a ketem on a beged. Tanino chodazim. I said, well, I understand. What are we going backwards for? We finished all of this at the beginning of the, right before the beginning of the parak. Now we're back again to the same thing. Why isn't it the same? Kane, it's said over there. You have a reed. The shear would be, if it's in good shape, kidei lasot kumas. That's because we usually will make a quill out of a reed. But fine, that doesn't apply to wood. I understand. But imaya av o merusas. But if it's cracked or it's too thick to make a nice pen out of, so then the shear is we treat it like a piece of wood, right? So it's kedei levasha beit sakalasha bebeit sim, which is true favenetunah beofes, where we've beat the egg. With, and we said over there, the Gemara was together with the oil to make it easy to cook, and it's put into the frying pan and so on. Answers the Gemara, I would not necessarily have known the halacha from there. I'll tell you why. Because ma de tema, there we're talking about something that is useless for anything else but fuel, because once that reed is cracked, I mean, what are you going to do with it? Mashenkin, if you have a good piece of wood, you could make a small, anything, the smallest piece. Let's say, if I would want to make a one tooth for a key, remember we've spoken about this, they used to actually make the equivalent of what we would call a combination. So all they would do is they would change the place of the teeth on the key and move around the associated female part on whatever it is they're opening. And that would be a constantly changing movable key. So you could use that piece of wood for that, no? So etzim dechazul lechakadak lida, it's good for a tooth on a key, maybe even a tiny bit. Gamash belan that? No, the shear, the primary usage would be the shear for fuel, and it's therefore, that is the shear. Remember we said before, if there's a dover that is rugel to use and another thing that is less rugel to use, we go according to the rugel. Tavlin kedele tabel beit sakala. Now the Mishnah didn't seem to care very much whether these are really the type of seasonings that a chef would put together. I mean, because there's some things you would never mix, right? And the truth is that there's another place where we find in a Mishnah that that's not true and that we do care whether a chef would put it together. Because Ramino, Tavlin, Shnayim, Vishlosha, Shemot, Mimin, Echad. Now, if you have different types of Isser, that are tavlinim. And they're all the same things. Now, Rashi understands this to mean that they're all the same type of species, right? So you have white pepper, you have black pepper, you have red pepper, and so on. All of those things are peppers. So because of that, they would be mitzarev. O mishlosha mini, or even if there's three kinds, we're going to explain when we would be mishatev, three kinds that are not the same type of thing. There are surin and mitztarfim zemzeh. If they're aser, or they do aser, and they're also mitztarif to aser, says Chizkia, that's true, but only where they're all the same type of flavor. Let's say they're all types of sweeteners, right? So then if they're mini mitika, so over real mateka kateri, you could add them together, but not if they have different types of tastes. Taimed chosulamate katakadera, but if not for that, you wouldn't be able to be mitzarif them. So how come our Mishnah does not seem to care about whether you can be mitzarif them or not? This is Gemara we're taking for granted over here, that they are all types of matika, derchozul matika takli. Now, Tosfos does not like this pshat at all. This is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos learns, Tosfos says, why would the min echad, if there's shame, what is the meaning of a shame echad? Mishame echad. What, just because they're called types of peppers? I mean, what if they have totally different tastes? I mean, there's pepper that has a sweet or sweet taste. There's a pepper, sweet peppers. There's peppers that have a very bitter taste. I mean, why would the name be important? And as Tosfos shows, all over Shas, when we use the word name, it's referring to the name of the Isser. It's not referring to the name of the thing. So he says, lo min ha-shem hu zeh. It's not from the same Isser. Or Shalosh Shemes of Isser. Let's say one is Kalayim, one is Kloya Kerem, one of them is Orla. I mean, that's the question. The Chiddush over here says to us is that even though they're from Shalosh Shemes, they would still be Mitztaref, even though they're not Mitztaref, Lagabe, the din of Korban, right? But they would be Mitztaref in terms of Asring things. I mean, that's how Tosfos understands it. Okay, but in any event, we recognize that they were taking for granted here that the Mishnah says tziruf means tziruf in the same way that we've applied elsewhere. Okay, continues the Gemara. Next thing we had in the Mishnah was various types of things that are used for dyeing. So we had klipei agozim, klipei rimonim, So we had the husks, and we had the peels, and we had the Mad Hatter, and we had the safflower, and so on. So that's enough for that little bit of cloth that is decorative on top of a woman's hat. And that was basically the area where you got your coloration in. You know, it was really very much the same as all of these people that only wear black and white, but they've got a tie, right? So the tie adds a splash of color. So, okay, so in those days, they had a little bit of color, which now people do for their kippah, all right? So they got a little bit of color up there on the top. That would be the shear. The problem is, remember we had before, that a motzei samanim shurugim, the shear is k'dei lizboa b'em dugma li'ira. Remember we talked about samples, and sample sizes were the size of that tiny little bit of cloth that you would put into the shuttle to prevent the spool from falling out of the shuttle. It was much smaller than what is needed for dyeing the top of a woman's hat. So how come over here we're saying it's a woman's hat? Answers the Gemara, well, we told you the answer to that, man. Remember we explained before, there's a difference between having an already prepared amount of dye or of cement, all of those kind of things. There's two completely different shiurim for when you're carrying out the raw product that you have to make, or you're carrying out the thing that's already made. So nobody, what you said over there is if you have the already steeped dye, so you've got the liquid. Okay, I mean, I had a little bit of liquid. I mean, I could use that for anything, even a dugma le'ira, but I'm certainly not going to go to all of that trouble of actually making up the dye, boiling it up and mixing it and so on. That's crazy. Unless it would be a shear that is large enough to get something serious out of, not just the dugma. So there's two completely different dinim. Moving on now, the Mishnah talked about urine. Now, the Braita explains what type of urine we're talking about. Tana meraglayim ad arba'im yom. Now, the Girsa, Tosis points out, if we have that Girsa, ben arba'im yom is wrong. Because that's mash, but it's supposed to be of a child that's up to 40 days old, which is not the halacha. And actually, the halacha is also not the way Rashi learns in other places, that it has to be at least 40 days sitting around in order to be properly strong. Also, says Tosis, that's not the point. Ad arba'im yom means that the urine is good from 3 days. This is because the Gemara elsewhere says it has to be at least 3 days old. So we're talking about ad arba'im yom. It means before 3 days, it doesn't have sufficient ammonia. And after 40 days, it's already lost some of its pungency. Therefore, it doesn't clean as well. By the way, I pointed out to you before that this inyan of the use of urine, which was so very much part of day-to-day life once upon a time, strikes modern people as being very strange. And I mentioned to you that it's so strange that I don't even want to say who says it, but one of the Mefarshei HaMishnah was so prejudiced by his modern sensitivities that he writes when the Mishnah talks about V'halo meraglayim yafinla, he says, that can't possibly be referring to urine. How could anybody think you would bring urine into the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, you know, he was not thinking about the good old days where you got your can of spray urine, you know, and so on. There was nothing that would be more popular than bringing in urine. Obviously, the Mishnah would have to be mechadesh, that there's such a darg of kedush in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't even bring in your urine dex spray. Okay, anyway, continuing on, we had netter. Now, netter, there's different types of netron. There's the type that's manufactured in Alexandria, which is Barnea's ex-neighborhood. That's the kind, not the kind that's in Antipatrin, which is Barnea's current neighborhood. Was that only if it's Tuesday? Okay, but anyway, sometimes it's Barnea's neighborhood. And that's not the right kind of netter that we're referring to. Borit, what exactly is borit? Ravina, borit refers to just sand. You know, when you rub the thing in, like you have the Ajax that comes in the powder, the foaming cleanser, ba-ba-bum, ba-bum. So over there, you need to have that roughness in it, and that's the sand. Nah, come on. It says in the Braita Beferish, ha-borit ve-ha-chol. Obviously, the borit is not the chol. The chol is a different ingredient than the borit is. And my borit kavrita. Actually, Borit is sulfur. Sulfur? It's ridiculous. The Mishnah lists sulfur as having a din. I mean, according to you, it lists borit, which you claim is sulfur, as having a din of Shemitah. Well, anybody who wants to plant a sulfur tree is welcome to try, but it sure ain't going to get you any kind of din of a Shemitah. So what are you talking about? Hosif alayam hachal bitzin, vela inun, vaha borit, vaha ahal. So now, they added to the list of things that would have a din of Shemitah, the things that are thistles, and I don't know exactly what all these things are, but whatever, it lists borit and aloes. Now, if borit is really, according to Kavrita, how in the world could sulfur have a din of Shemitah? I mean, Tanya, only things that grow, it only has roots. The fact that it's in the ground, that doesn't give it a din of Shemitah. It has to be biological with roots. And she'en lo ikar, ein lo shvius, even though it's in the ground and you're taking it out of the ground. Ela my borit, the borit is actually the ahala that we were referring to there in that Mishnah. So it really is the ahal. No, it can't be ahal either because the Braita listed it separately. Borit and ahal. Okay, fine, but there could be different types of ahal. You know, one of them is called borit, one of them is called stam ahal. I don't know. Kimulia, what exactly is that? Says Rabbi, everybody knows what that is. That's shloftots. That's the thing that you pull out and stick back in, which way Rashi says, I have no idea what that is. But anyway, that's the name at the time. Ashlag. Okay, what exactly is ashlag? So we know, we mine ashlag, from deposits at the bottom of the sea and so on, is potash. And where did they get it from? Amar Shmuel, Shaltino l'chol nechute yama. And they said, well, everybody knows that as shunana. And you find that if you have a pearl and there's a hole in that, that stuff inside is actually potash. And mafka baram to the parzli, you take like a sharp point and you can get it out. Okay, it's not a very good way to mine ashlag. But in any event, today, the potash works is called ashlag. Okay, Sir Richard, you are on. Thank you. Pilpelet kolshohu. So if you take out pilpelet, now pilpelet is not what we call pilpil. It's talking about an actual corn, as we'll see, a little tiny seed of pepper. Not seed, but a peppercorn that comes from the tree. Itran. Itran is tar distillation. Any amount of itran. Mine besonim, or mine matachot, any type of perfume or any type of metal, even a small amount. We'll see in the Gemara what they're used for. Me'av ne'am izbeach, me'av faram izbeach. Now, if you've got something that requires a geniza, now then the very fact it requires geniza, let's say a chip of stone from the Mizbeach, you have to be geniz. So the very fact that it has to be nignaz gives it chashivut. And therefore the slightest amount that you take out, you would be chayiv. Now l'chora, this is only if you hold that a malach shein tzricha l'gufa you're chayiv on, because otherwise you don't want to use the avdei Mizbeach adarabah. What you're looking at is something that you need to take out and to put away. Okay, it's machlokas, whether really this is only going alibi to Rabbi Yehuda or not. Mekek svarim, or mekek mitpechot svarim. So let's say you mekek is the, I'm sure you've noticed that when you have a book that's affected by bookworms, so you've got this little tiny pieces of leftover paper that have been wrecked by the bookworm. The same thing is true of there's decayed material that's been eaten by the worms, either of Sfarim, the Sifrei Kodesh, or the coverings of Sifrei Kodesh. So there too, you would have to be gonez. So because of that, any amount would be chashiv. Why? Shematznin otan, you would put these away in order to take them out ultimately and bring them to the geniza. Shematznin otan the gonzan. Reb Yehuda Imer. Well, the same thing is true. Now, this is good that it works out a little bit of Reb Yehuda, who holds a malach shein tzricha l'guf as chayev, because it's Reb Yehuda who says, let's say you've got something that was used for Avodah Zorah. right? And you're mechuyev to get that out of your house. So anything that you would take out, since it says in the Torah, v'lo yidbak b'yadecha me'uma min acherem, me'uma means anything. So anything that's part of the cherem of Avodah Zarah would actually be mechuyev for the slightest amount. Again, even though the chora, in order to be mekayim lo yidbak b'yadecha, you're just trying to get rid of it. And then that should be a mloch shen tzvicha legufa, but again, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, pilpelet. What exactly is the use of any tiny little piece of pilpelet? It is used for halitosis. So it's a reach ha-peh, and you walk around the way that people nowadays will walk around with a little mint or something. So they used to use a pilpelet. Itron, what would you use itron for? That's tar distillate. Lamai chazia, that is great for migraines. You'll love a little bit of that on your head. And that's a migraine refuah. Anything that's a refuah, of course, the little the amount that is going to be used for the refuah is sufficient to be mechayev you. Mine besamim kolshen. Okay, I mean, I understand perfume is tiny little bits of perfume is roi to use for perfume. That certainly makes sense. And Tanur Rabbanan, the same thing is true. Somebody who takes out something that has a bad smell, even a little bit of a reach ra, they used to use these things because they figured if you don't like the smell, neither are the shadim, you know, or the ruach ra. So the best way to protect somebody is use a little bit of garlic for a vampire. How would you like it if you were a vampire? You wouldn't like sitting around that garlic. So by the same token, using something that's got a really pungent smell would be usable for illnesses to keep the vampires away. Shemen tov. And there too, kosher, if it's like this great smelling oil, we said, and it gives a good smell, you'll use a little bit amount. Argaman, which is a little bit of dye, Rashi says it must be, if it's a dye, that it has some other use, because otherwise it would have been included in the shear of the dye stuff, which we're talking about was the shear of Ira, Dugma Ira, or if you needed to make it, it would be a bigger shear for the woman's head. So it must be that this is used for some other thing. Maybe it was used as a good smell. And because of that, even a little bit would be chayev. Ptulat haveret, even one petal of a ptulat haveret, of a nice, new, fresh, delicious-smelling rose, that is also enough. Mine matachot, what would you use a little bit of metal for? Lamar chaza. Tanya, Rebbe Shur, Melazar, Reshken, Roy, Lasot, Mimena, Darben, Katan. You can use that to use as a goad. Now, you know, for a smaller animal, a little tiny prick in the neck is enough to get it moving. So that would be the shear of the metal. Tanur Rabbanan, how about if somebody donates metal to the Beis HaMikdash? And he says, Hare, Alai, Barzel, what would be the shear over there? So, Acherim Omrim, Lo Yivchot Mi Ama Al Ama. You have to give a piece of metal that is one Ama by one Ama square. Anything less than that is not choshev for the Beis HaMikdash, and we understand that your das is when you're saying that you're giving something, it would be something that's usable. Usable? What exactly was a tile of one by one amma of metal usable for? Rav Yosef, everybody knows that. It was used for the Kalya Orev, to get the crows off of the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, so they tiled the roof with these very sharp metal tiles. That also it's also what's used today for chasing away pigeons. Same kind of idea. And they would put this across, tile the entire roof of the Beis HaMikdash with it. So because of that, the normal size was one by one. V'ikri Amri. Others say that actually it went the other way around, that the Acherim said, well, you've got to give at least sufficient metal that could be used as a Kalya Orev, and Rav Yosef was the one who explained that that means Am al Ama, not in the other direction, but it boils down to Sim Halacha. How about if you commit yourself to give Nechoshet to the Beis HaMikdash? What's the shear then? It has to be worth a Ma'ah of Kesef. Tanya Reb Eliezer Omer Lo Yivchot Mitzinora Ketana Shal Nechoshet. Reb Eliezer says, no. It's usable, the chosh. It's not a function of value. It's usability. And that would be a little tiny, a small fork shape made out of the chosh. What good is that? Lamai chazia. Omar Abaye, that is good for mechatitin bata ptilot to become chinat ha-neirot. You can dig out the ptilot, use the ptilot from the neirot, or trim them, and you clean out the menorah with it. So that's useful. Mekek sfarim, mekek mitpachat. Those are decayed material after they're eaten by larvae. On Rav Yehuda, they're different types of worms that affect different types of materials. We have different names for them. So Svarim, we call the worm actually the mekak. And the what's left over is the mekek, that's been the matter that's left behind. So that's the name of the word worm is the mekak. On silk, the name of the worm is tchach. Grapes are affected by the ila. The pa affects figs. The ha affects pomegranates. And the truth is, all of these various types of worms are dangerous to swallow. In fact, there was a guy in the middle of Shir, and he was in Rabbi Yochanan Shir, and he was sitting there and he was eating te'anim, which probably wasn't the right thing to do, sitting in Shir, and he starts screaming all of a sudden, says, Rebbe, there's like thorns in these figs. Rabbi Yochanan said, oh my God, he's gone for katle paladain. One of these paw things have gotten into him. He's gone. Continues Sir Richard. Woo. Well, I assumed you said Zakta Halakha Mishnah, but your internet was not particularly cooperative. You might have been saying, I don't even want to say what you might have been saying, but all right, go ahead.
Try it again?
No, we'll take your word for it. No, because we couldn't even hear what you were saying about that, so probably wouldn't be any better. Hamotzi kupat harochlin. So a kupat harochlin is a whole box that an Avon man carries around with him. You know, it opens up and it's got all the different perfumes and types of lotions and so on. So it's filled with all different kinds of things. Afo pishishba minim arbeven, it's got like 100 different perfumes in it. You'd only be chayev one chatas. Now, Tosis points out that is so idiotically obvious that what in the world could the Mishnah be talking about? I mean, even if you took out 100 bottles of perfume, one after the other, the din would be that if it was betoch one ha'aloma, you'd also only be chai of one. So obviously, if it's one act of otsa, you're only chai of one. So what would the Mishnah need to say this for? So Tosus says it must be talking about where you found out about one bottle at a time. And the Chiddush is that the Yediyah, even according to the Shittas we had before, that the Yediyah afterwards would still be mechalek. It would not be true when the act of Otsa was a single act of Otsa, then even though the Halama was on different things within that act, they're not considered to have any meaningful differentiation. It's the same Otsa. Zero neginas. You take out seeds for planting in your garden. So over there, a little bit less than a grow. Garret would be the shear. Why is that? Even one seed ought to be chashev. But as we said before, you don't go to the trouble of going out and seeding your garden just for one seed. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir Omer, well, five seeds. So five seeds would be sufficient to seed your garden, and that would be mechayev you. And then there's seeds that are like really chashev because they grow these giant plants. So let's say if you got zera of kishuin, those are valuable. So even two of those. Or Zera Diluin, I mean, pumpkins, you don't have to plant a lot of them, even two of them are good. Zera Polamitri, also two of them. Now, how about a locust? Okay, so you got a live locust. How big would it have to be taken out? Any size. Why? Because you guys may not realize that these people had the jump on us when it came to battery-powered toys, okay? Because your battery-powered toys, first of all, they run out of batteries very quickly, and they really need to do only one little thing, and they can't do all kinds of amazing things. Their battery-powered toys were actually battery-powered by all kinds of biological materials, and they did all kinds of things. They would fly around like the little battery-powered airplanes, and they would run around, and they would make noises and so on, and they were called locusts. And so if you want to give your kid a good time, you give them a battery-powered TCP locust. Vroom, vroom. And so any little size of locust is lots of fun, And as you can watch, the cats have a ball with this kind of thing even today. So the kids had a ball with these things, right? And therefore, the slightest size of a locust makes a wonderful toy. But if it's dead, then it's only good. I mean, who's going to play with a battery-free, doesn't have any power left in it. So the only thing you do with that is you eat it. Remember, we're talking about kosher locusts over here. So you eat it. And if you eat it, then the shear is like any other food, a Kroger Garrett, except for the very famous locust, which was called the Tziporet HaKramim. Now, Tziporet HaKramim is any size, even if it's dead. And the reason for that is that it's being used for purposes of curing your stupid mind, as we'll see. So if you want to get smart, all you need is a Tziporet HaKramim, and then you can fix your brain. Now, we're going to talk about how to fix your brain in the Gemara, so stay tuned, because everybody would like to fix their brain. And that, therefore, little tiny Tziporet HaKramim is good for that, dead or alive, wanted. Because Matzinoto in that fashion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I say it does not have to be a kosher locust. You said it has to be Chagav Chai Tahor. And what if it's not a kosher locust? It's still perfectly good as a toy, isn't it? I mean, come on. How frum can you possibly get? I wouldn't allow a non-kosher toy, am I? I mean, you got to throw out the piggy banks in your house? So because of that, even if it's a non-kosher toy, it should be perfectly okay, and therefore would be the same shear. So Af HaMotzi Chagav Chai Tamei is still good enough for a kid to play with. Shematzniinoto Lekatan Letzachek Blitzchokbo. We'll see what the machlokas is in the Gemara over here. As the Gemara, you're saying that it would take close to a grow garret of seeds. How do you explain the mission we had before? We already know the answer to this because we've talked about it before and established it. Vramini, if you take out fertilizer or very thin sand, which is very good to put around the roots, it's enough to take out just for one single kelach shokruv, which is mashma, that if you could plant one kelach shokruv, you would be chayev, because it's chashev. So says Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim say, even less than that, even for a leek, it's enough. Today was Abel Kresha. And of course, as we said before, hod is a ria, it makes a big difference. If it's already been planted and it's growing, yes, then you will go to the tircha of fertilizing it. But to take out sufficient to grow it in the first place, before it's been planted, ein adam toreach lotzi nima, just for one nima achat is ria, as we said before. How about zera kishuin? So we said even two seeds. Hamotzi garinin. How about if you take out the pits of dates? Im lenitia, you want to plant them? So then two of them you would plant. Obviously, not planting them right now. So then if you actually took it out to plant, we said even one. Im la'achila, if they're meant for animal feed, so then it would be enough to feed a piggy. And that would be, as we'll see in the Gemara, even one. V'chamer melo pi chazir, one. Im la'asik, you're taking it out to put into the stove to burn. K'dei levasho beit sakala, as we saw before. If you're taking out pits for what most people would, it's a calculator. You know, these little, you put aside one for every five or every 10 or whatever, and then you calculate with it as if it's an abacus. So if it's for a cheshbon, you need two, whereas a cheshbon, come on, I mean, two you could figure in your own brain. Five. Tana Rabbana. Even taking out two hair warts, obviously, let me pulling them out. Your chayev, because that's used for making these bird traps with, as we saw earlier. If you take out even one bristle of a pig, mikshar shel chazir, one is also choshev because it's used to as thick needles. You take out tsurei dekel, which are those after you've peeled off the fronds, you take them out. So two of them are considered to be chashev because you use that to set up the weave of your basket. Then you can add more. If you take out the, it's not clear what this is. Big machlok is exactly what is torei dekel. Achas, even only one of them. But most learn that that's talk. Some learn that those of you who see these things around all the time will recognize that some palms have these like little root things that are coming out of the bottom. They're very, very rooty. These thin little roots. Not all palms have those. And all palms do have that thick kind of looks like gauze, actually looks like woven gauze that goes around the bottom of the palms. This is my cloak is what we're referring to over here. But anyway, even one. Tziporot HaKramim Ben Chaya B'Meit HaKosher. What exactly is the Tziporot HaKramim in the Mishnah? It's what we call today the Palya Biari. Omer Abaya, you find these things in very young, fresh-growing palm trees that only have one single bud on them. And what it's good for is fixing stupid brains. So Avdei Leila Chukma, if you want, I mean, let's say you've got a really serious case of ADD, okay? Now, you got to study for a test. Okay, so nowadays you got to go take all these kind of psychotropic things in order to allow you to study for your test. I don't know. Alderin maybe you're taking. The best thing to take is a little bit of Palya Biari. And how do you deal with this Palya Biari? Well, what you do is you eat the right side of the Palya Biari. The other side of the Palya Biari, you put into your magic. Remember the copper tube you carry around for all kinds of things, right? We've had this good old copper tube that then you seal with 60 different types of seals. Remember, we keep using this. We had it all the way back in Brochus to be able to see Shadim with. Very, very popular. So this type of the Gufta de Naksha, you can get on Amazon, and they're really usable for all different types of things that you put into them. And you got to seal it, of course, with your magical 60 seals, which we learned before doesn't really mean that. But totally maybe even the smaller. Now, what you do is you hang your copper tube on your left arm. The way to remember that, which arm? Is Leiv Chacham LeYemino. If you're smart, it's all on the right side. But when you're an idiot, it's on your left side. And that means if you are an idiot, and that's why you got to take this thing, you better wear this on your left side to fix it, right? Okay, now, you don't want to get too smart, okay? So Chachayim Kamadabai, you just get as much smarts as you need, and you read as much as you need to remember for the test. I mean, you don't want to go overboard, right? So you're Chachayim Kamadabai. Now, at that point, it's all in your brain. How do you keep it in your brain? Ah, you've got to open up your tube, eat the other half of the locust, because if not, it's all going to go right out the other ear. So that's why they call it about going in one ear and out the other was a reference to this little copper tube. So if it isn't eaten after you open up the copper tube, you're going to lose it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, and what if it's a not kosher locust? It works just as good as a battery-powered toy. So why doesn't the Tanakhama agree with that? The Tanakhama says, no way. You'll never give your kid a non-kosher locust to play with. He might eat it. My time at Dilma Ochel. What, do you want to feed your kid a non-kosher locust? So they want to say, if you're worried about a kid eating the locust, so then you shouldn't give him a kosher locust either, because you're not supposed to eat a kosher locust while it's living. That's disgusting. Because once Rav Kahana was in Shir over there in front of Rav, and he was playing with a locust, a shoshiva. And I mean, what do you do with a shoshiva, you know? You kiss it, you put it on your lips, and it's a lot of fun because it buzzes, you know. And Rav said to him, get that off your lips, will you please? People are going to think that you're eating the thing, and you're going to be over on Baal Tishak Tzuet Nafshotechem. It's disgusting. You're not allowed to do that. And so you shouldn't be allowed to give it to your kid if you really think your kid's going to eat it. Well, we don't really think he's going to eat the live locust. We're afraid it's going to die and it'll eat the dead locust. That's what the Tanakhama holds. So maybe it'll run out of batteries, which some people call death, and then the kid will be Ochale. Says Rabbi Yehuda, are you crazy? A kid is going to eat his toy locust? If it dies, he'll make a funeral and say a hesped. What kind of crash is that? So katan mishpat safidle, all he's going to do is say a hesped on his locust, and that's not a problem.